What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets here on our FTN Fantasy YouTube page. Also listening on iTunes and Spotify. I greatly appreciate you guys. Chris Meany here hanging out with you. Week two got underway last night. Scary moment in Miami with Tua going down. And you really wonder what his future holds, what it looks like in the NFL. Really just rooting for him to get the health that he needs and the support, of course, from the family. So wishing all the best to Tua. And honestly, it may have been the last time we see him. And it may be for the best. But rooting for Tua, you certainly don't want to see that. It was certainly rough to watch. Today on this show, we are going to talk about the games this weekend. We'll be back on Monday to really tee up the Monday Night Football game between the Eagles and the Falcons. Battle of the Birds there at the Link, home opener for Philadelphia as they welcome Kirk Cousins and the Falcons to town. Today, we're going to talk about my favorite props. We have some touchdown calls, start and sit. Answer any start and sit questions that you guys have. Just leave them in the comments section. I will always circle back in these videos. Reach out at Chris Meany. DMs are open. Slide on in. MeanStreetsFTN@gmail.com as well. So any start or sit questions that you guys have, by all means, hit me up. Rankings are live. They're updated with some of the injury news that we heard on Friday. No T. Higgins. At least he's doubtful. Hollywood Brown placed on IR. It sounds like he could actually miss maybe the entire season. What else do we have? Kenneth Walker is not going to play this week, and we'll talk about where Zach Charbonnet does fit in. But those are the biggest injuries heading into this week, and we will talk, like I said, some start and sit stuff and some touchdown props. But Mean Streets has a new sponsor. We talked about it last week with Boom Fantasy. We had two picks from Boom Fantasy that we had. Luckily, we got right. We had James Conner over, I believe, was 12 and a half, maybe 13 and a half rushing attempts. And then we had Tony Pollard over 9.5, 10 and a half receiving yards. So let's see what we have cooked up this week. A shout out to Boom Fantasy and my guy, Quan. Here we go.
All right, so boom. I won on the pick and spin with Boom Fantasy last week, but I didn't win 500 times my entry. So I'm back. With Boom Fantasy's pick and spin, you pick two players, spin the wheel, and win. It's that simple. This week, I'm going Jameson Williams over 45.5 receiving yards and Alexander Mattison over 12.5 receiving yards. Download the Boom Fantasy app on Android or iOS and tune in each week to Mean Streets to see if I pick and spin and win.
Oh, baby, love that for my guy, Quan. So Alexander Mattison, what? You're a Zamir White guy. What are you doing with Alexander Mattison, the over on the receiving yard? So Zamir White did outcarry Alexander Mattison last week, 13-5. But Mattison had 60% of the snaps. Zamir White had 34% of the snaps. And they were playing from behind in that game. They're nearly 10-point dogs on the road in Baltimore. So I think this could be a tough game again for Gardner Minshew and the Raiders. And I do expect Zamir White to be the lead and get more carries than Alexander Mattison. And Alexander Mattison may just be suited for this role. Last year, you know, when Dalvin Cook left Minnesota, it was all Mattison. And, you know, a lot of people were excited about him getting a full workload, and he didn't really produce. He wasn't super efficient. Part of it was on the offensive line in Minnesota. I don't think he scored a rushing touchdown. He ended up really losing his job to Ty Chandler, and then the Vikings went out and acquired Cam Akers. Mattison may just be suited for like a change of pace role. It certainly seemed like he's the third down back in this offense. So as 10-point dogs in this game, and last week seeing Alexander Mattison rack up 4 catches on 6 targets for 43 receiving yards, we should be able to get the over on the 12.5 receiving yards, whether it's garbage time stuff or third down, 2-minute drill situations. It should be Alexander Mattison on the field over Zamir White. And listen, I'm not feeling too good about my Zamir White shares. I would hold him, but I wouldn't play either one of these backs, but we can dive into those props. The other prop there was Jameson Williams. Right, we're just in on the Jameson Williams breakout. I know he popped up on the injury report today with an ankle injury, questionable. I do expect him to play here this weekend. And last week, a career high in terms of targets. He had 9 catches, 5, 134 total yards. We had the over rushing and receiving for Jameson Williams last week over at FTN Fantasy. And we hit that one, I believe, in the first drive, second drive from the Detroit Lions. The Rams did a great job of taking away Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra is going to get his. And anybody who has any doubts about Amon-Ra, don't worry, play him. And do not trade him. Do not make him available. And, you know, who knows, man? People like to overreact and go and acquire or check in on the Amon-Ra St. Brown owner just to make sure he's feeling all right. But three touchdowns in his last two games. And I said, I think last week when we were talking about him, we had him on the show to score a touchdown, and he did. I was saying the breakout, it felt like it was coming towards the end of last season, the NFC Championship game, conference championship game against the Niners. He had a rushing touchdown, had a receiving touchdown. He's averaging 60 receiving yards over his last seven matchups. He can get to the 45 and a half on one grab. We saw multiple 40 plus 50 yard touchdowns from him at Bama. And then we saw one in week one. So the over there, and plus the matchup is right. It's one of the highest totals in the week. Lions and Bucks in the Dome in Detroit. And the Bucks were top 10 last year in allowing catches and receiving yards to wide receivers. So we do like that matchup. Good luck. Download Boom Fantasy, the app. Use promo code FTN. Here's the other props that I am in on here. Cooper Kupp over 84.5. So I put these numbers in right away. There may be a little bit of movement. I'd take Kupp as high as 90. 95. Like, I think this guy is just, he's going to hit the century mark almost every single week. And it does sound like the Rams avoided a scare earlier in the week. It looked like as many as three, possibly four offensive linemen would be gone from this game, but it does sound like maybe just down one offensive lineman here. So 21 targets, 14 grabs, 110 yards. He's not going to get that type of work. 72% target share, topped everybody in week one. But I want to go back to 2021. Now, we are a couple years removed from that fantastic season between Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford en route to a Super Bowl, and Kupp being fantastic all year long. But he topped 85 yards in 16 of those 17 games in the regular season. He hit the century mark in 11 games. He had 7-plus targets in every game. He had 10-plus in 14 of 17. He had 7-plus grabs in 15 games. He had nearly 2,000 yards that season through the air, 191 targets, 145 grabs, and 13.44 yards per catch. So his week three prop is going to be around the century mark, especially if he has another great game here. The Rams have owned Arizona 7-2 against them straight up over the last 5 years. Kyler only has one victory against the Rams in his career. So this is a spot where Sean McVay has had some success against Arizona. But besides all that, Puka Nacua is sidelined until at least week seven. The Rams are on a bye week six. And Sean McVay said that it's possible that Puka misses more time than that. So we'll get into DeMarcus Robinson here in a little bit and Tyler Johnson, but Cooper Kupp, right? I mean, the catch prop is 7.5. Vegas is expecting 8 grabs. The yards per catch numbers, again, that season 13.4. It's roughly what he's been at. He's such a terrific route runner. So we're in on Cooper Kupp, and it's probably my chalkiest pick here. Brian Robinson Jr., over 13.5 rushing attempts and 52.5 rushing yards. Those were some numbers I was looking at over at Boom Fantasy as well, but they went away pretty quickly when I was talking to my guy Quan. So only 12 carries last week for 40 yards on the ground, B-Rob. But he, you know, they played behind most of the game, two scores for most of the game. The defense is going to be awful again, the secondary, especially in Washington. But a game against the Giants here, right? This is as good as it gets for a team. Daniel Jones, more touchdowns to the opposing team than his own since signing that big contract. And certainly, definitely his last year in New York here, unless he can turn it around. I just don't really buy into it. But Brian Robinson should get a little bit more run this week in a game that I don't expect Washington to be trailing by two scores. So lean on him a little bit. And for Jaden Daniels, 16 rushing attempts, it's just unsustainable. I said this, you know, when Lamar Jackson in week one had 16 plus against Kansas City. It's unsustainable. You're going to get this guy hurt. Lamar, that was the most rushing yards he had in 4 years. And maybe it was because of the Chiefs in primetime, want to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and just haven't had a lot of success against them first game here for Jaden Daniels. His helmet popped off a bunch. He took a bunch of shots. Dan Quinn already came out and said, listen, we can't have him running 16 plus times. I don't want him running 16 plus times. I want him to remain, you know, a pocket passer. It's in his nature to run. Actually do like the over 9.5 rushing attempts for Jaden Daniels this week, but I do believe they'll lean on B-Rob here. Over 52 rushing yards for him, over 13.5 carries. And last week we saw Aaron Jones, 94 yards on the ground on just 14 carries. Even got Ty Chandler involved a little bit because Minnesota had their way with the Giants. So B-Rob here over 13.5 rushing attempts, over 15.5 rushing yards to get the best possible number over at FTNFantasy.com using the free prop shop up at the top of FTNFantasy.com. Jameson Williams, already went over him. J.K. Dobbins in here at 52.5 rushing yards. I also think Gus Edwards at 44.5 rushing yards is fairly low. This Panthers team may actually surprise you and hang around with the Chargers this week, but last week they were atrocious on both sides of the football. Bryce Young has got a lot to prove here in the NFL. Dave Canales has his hands full. I know he's done some great things with quarterbacks like Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield last year, but it's just not going to be good for the Panthers this season. And this is just a really good spot for any running back that goes up against the Carolina Panthers. They allowed a league-high 21 rushing touchdowns last year to opposing running backs, and last week they coughed up 47 points. They also allowed 180 rushing yards in that football game. Dobbins, a great first game, his first since week one of last year. He racked up 135 yards, had a touchdown, logged 57% of the snaps. I don't think that Gus Edwards is going anywhere. I think this is a 1-2 punch, and I would say that Gus Edwards is probably the lead in terms of carries and the closer, and they'll be cautious here with J.K. Dobbins given the Achilles injury. But this is a very low number, 52.5 for a team that I know they want to run the football. So we're taking the over on the rushing yards for J.K. Dobbins, and I'd consider a touchdown for Dobbins and Gus Edwards, right? They're both plus money, nearly 2-1, again, in this spot. 21 rushing touchdowns allowed to RBs last season, which was the most in the NFL. Then we have Rashid Shaheed in here at over 34.5 receiving yards. The best number I saw was at Bet365. FanDuel was offering like 40.5 receiving yards at a very similar price. And again, that's why the prop shop is just so darn cool. But we have him for over 40 receiving yards here in this matchup. And for Rashid Shaheed, he's very boom or bust. Last week, he had 5 targets, 3 grabs, and 73 receiving yards. Chris Olave didn't do anything. I expect them to use Olave this week. That game got out of hand. Don't worry about Olave again. Don't panic after week one, and it's not the time to sell these guys unless you're thinking about Olave for Marvin Harrison straight up, something like that where you buy low on both of these guys. But there are a lot of dud performances in week one. But as for Shaheed, a 19.4 ADOT average depth of target, you can see that over at FTNFantasy.com in our stats hub. So he is getting targeted deep down the field. That's why he had 15.6 yards per catch last season. That's why he had 17.4 yards per catch as a rookie. You know, he can get this number on 1 or 2 grabs. We saw it last week firsthand. And as I mentioned, we have him projected for roughly 44 receiving yards. So the over 34.5 receiving yards, that when I put that in, it was -110 at 365. And as I mentioned, 39.5 FanDuel, 37.5 at DraftKings. So why not get that smaller number there? And I think that game will be exciting. I think we'll see a lot of points in that game between the Saints and the Cowboys. Kubiak running some motion, and I get it was against the Panthers. This is actually a true test for Derek Carr and company, but Carr's been fantastic over his last 5 or 6 games dating back to last season. But like to see, you know, the new coordinators bring some punch to the offense. Very vanilla last year in New Orleans, very vanilla last year in Philadelphia. The Eagles ran motion more than they ever did. Not ever, and most in 4 years anyways with Kellen Moore in week one. So, and that's what we saw a lot with Clint Kubiak and running some guys in motion. So there are the props. Have a whole lot more over at ftnfantasy.com. Try to give my favorites, right, to try to help you guys win some cash. They went 4-for-6 last week. We'll see if we can do a little bit better than that. We definitely want to be above 500. The touchdown props, we were 5-for-10. We want to do a little bit better than that as well. But here we are. We have Brandon Ayuk at plus 180. You know, you can feel better about Ayuk this week if you hung out with me last week. Got a lot of hate on TikTok. My goodness, so stupid to sit. Brandon Ayuk, what are you thinking? And I said Sauce Gardner is a bad man, straight up. And Ayuk hadn't really been with the team all camp. He's hanging out on the sidelines, so he's a little bit limited. He almost had a touchdown catch. It's probably on him, not Purdy. But plus 180 this week against Minnesota. He's got one of the best matchups according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool as well. So feeling pretty good about Brandon Ayuk. I have him ranked as a top 15 wide receiver. No Christian McCaffrey again. In fact, the second best matchup in our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool after CeeDee Lamb for Brandon Ayuk. So fire him up in your fantasy football lineups. See if you can buy low on Mr. Ayuk. We're going back to J-Mo. Right. I mean, it's J-Mo season. You guys know, like, I got a crush on this guy. So I'm just in, you know, plus 165. I actually think because of the ankle injury, I saw plus 175 before I came on. I gave these numbers in the Discord yesterday. And to my guy, Fox, shout out to Fox for making these sharp graphics here. Chris Godwin at plus 245. Last week we had Mike Evans. Mike Evans has a plus 5 matchup. Chris Godwin has a plus 12 matchup. I think that this is going to be a high scoring game. I think Detroit's going to play in a lot of high scoring games, especially in the dome. So I like Godwin here. I think it's a good number at plus 245. I think Mike Evans, you know, is a good bet as well to score a touchdown. There are a few guys that are left off this board. For example, like, I think Derrick Henry is going to score a touchdown. I think Cooper Kupp is going to score a touchdown. I think Mike Evans is going to score a touchdown. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to score a touchdown. Like, those four guys, you want to put them into a parlay, a two-leg parlay. I think that those four guys find the end zone this week. I'd also bank on Saquon Barkley to score a touchdown as well. How can you not roll with Saquon after three, the hat trick in his Philly debut? But the numbers weren't great for those guys. So I'm trying to find some value, and I think there's some value here with Chris Godwin. Rashid Shaheed, as I mentioned, the high ADOT. I think it's a high-scoring game. I think we'll see Derek Carr take at least two shots a game down the field with Rashid Shaheed. He's a burner. He's got that high ADOT. And Carr's got a decent deep ball, man, and he's pretty accurate. So plus 300 is a really good number for Rashid Shaheed. I believe in what we saw last week from Isaiah Likely. I believe in what we saw from him down the stretch of last season, scoring touchdowns when Mark Andrews was sidelined. I also believe that the Chiefs did a great job of taking away Mark Andrews in that game, and they've had a lot of success doing that. But at the same time, both of these guys are going to be on the field. We saw that in week one, very similar in terms of snaps and running routes. Isaiah Likely is also a great run blocker, and he is a big body inside the red zone. This game could get out of hand. I expect it to be a big Derrick Henry game, less touches for Justice Hill. I know Harbaugh said they didn't bring in Henry to give him 30 plus carries a game. This is that type of game. His rushing attempt props at 17.5. I think we see him with like 20 plus carries in this game, but Lamar is going to throw the football in this game, and Isaiah Likely at plus 270. We had this in week one on Thursday Night Football. We had him to score a touchdown. We had 95-1 for him for two touchdowns, and he just missed. He had his toenail on the paint there. So Isaiah Likely plus 270. I still think that's a pretty good spot. Demarcus Robinson at plus 250. He was scoring touchdowns towards the end of last season as well, and that was with Puka Nacua healthy. Cooper Kupp, I don't think, was fully healthy, but he was playing. But Demarcus Robinson certainly had a role, and his role is going to grow here with Puka Nacua sidelined for the next few weeks. He played 72 of 78 snaps, 79 snaps in week one. According to our FTN wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, he's got Starling Thomas this week, and Thomas allowed the fourth most yards per route run covered in week one. So again, I think Cooper Kupp scores a touchdown. Kyron Williams is going to get a ton of run in this game as well. Stafford likes to chuck the football. I think this is pretty good odds for DeMarcus Robinson, who, by the way, had more end zone targets than Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua over the final four games in the regular season and was involved against the Lions in that playoff game. I'm going back to Gus Edwards. Those that are hanging out here on the YouTube page, you see these are the picks last week. We had Cooper Kupp plus 140, Evans plus 135, Zach Moss plus 150. We had Brian Thomas Jr. at plus 290. You had Jameson Williams at plus 240. You had Gus Edwards there at plus 250. I wish I went with J.K. Dobbins. But as I said earlier, I think both guys are in play. I think Gus is plus 185 here, and J.K. Dobbins is around plus 160. I said earlier about the matchup against the Panthers. Ladd McConkey, plus 260. Fire up Ladd. I like the catch prop again. Plus money over 4.5. It was plus money over 3.5 last week for Ladd McConkey, who led the Chargers in his first NFL game. And this is why we liked him, right? Not just because Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Darrell Everett and Austin Eckler are gone, and that's like 2,000 total yards of receiving yards that are gone, and Mike Williams was limited to like two or three games. But in his first game, team high, 7 targets, he had 5 grabs, he had 39 yards, he had a touchdown. How about the nifty footwork that he had, right? And that's a part of why I like him, right? He's shifty. He's got great hands. He's a great route runner. You can see the footwork after the catch, right? He juked two guys and he found the end zone. Palmer should see a little bit of J.C. Horn this week. They will run on Carolina, but I do expect Ladd to look like right away and his Herbert's favorite target immediately in week one. So Ladd McConkey there, I think pretty good odds at plus 260. His touchdown prop in the season was 4.5 plus money. We'll see if we can get there. Marvin Harrison Jr., I thought that it would be a little bit more of a better number, you know, as a long shot, but books think he's going to get involved here. I don't think like it's going to be a squeaky wheel type thing where, you know, Kyler just goes to him right away and early and often. But I think that he's going to get more run. That was their first game together. There was a disconnect on the first play, the first target. I think he thought it was like a go route and it was a comeback, or at least that's what Kyler thought. And then there was a bad drop. And then Kyler was like, all right, I'm going to other guys here. But plus 190, I think he makes for a good buy low candidate. I do have him ranked as a low end wide receiver too. Like, I certainly don't have him ranked near his ADP at like wide receiver 12. He's more like 25, 26. So I think there's a world where you could sit him in a 2 wide receiver league. Of course, that would be a shallow league, but I do believe he's a good buy low candidate here. But plus 190 for Marvin Harrison Jr. And then how could I not go to Alan Lazard at plus 370? He had the 2 touchdowns. One came in garbage time with Tyrod Taylor. And Aaron Rodgers really only throwing to the left side of the field, but a 30% target share for Lazard, for Garrett Wilson. I just think this is a good number. And Alan Lazard in the final year in Green Bay, I mean, he had a ton of end zone targets. And in Davante Adams' final year, Lazard actually had more end zone targets than Davante Adams, if you can believe that. This is BFF Rodgers, right? He brings over all these guys and Randall Cobb and Nathaniel Hackett and a bunch of other dudes, but plus 370. I said last week, I do have respect for the Titans secondary. I said that, and I still believe it. You know, Awuzue and Legarius Sneed, they got some guys that can play, and they made life for Caleb Williams in his NFL debut pretty rocky. It was a rocky start for him. I think he had, what, 93 passing yards? He was sub 100. Across the board, passing yards were down. I just think it was week 4 of the preseason. I think we'll see some better offenses here in the NFL, but we're also seeing like 2 high safeties. It's like, you know, the defense that teams employed when they played the Chiefs. And when I saw the Dolphins over the past couple of weeks, now the Jags gave one up to Tyreek Hill, but Buffalo was certainly playing 2 high deep and not letting the Bills beat them or the Dolphins beat them over the top in that game. So seeing a little bit of that across the league, not giving up some big plays, explosive plays, but those are the touchdown props. Again, in order of how I like them: Brandon Ayuk, Jameson Williams, Chris Godwin, Rashid Shaheed, Isaiah Likely, DeMarcus Robinson, Gus Edwards, Ladd McConkey, Marvin Harrison Jr., Alan Lazard. Again, if you want like a 4-leg touchdown parlay, I would go Derrick Henry, Cooper Kupp, CeeDee Lamb. I'd probably just leave it at that, but you can put Saquon in there if you wanted to. And another guy that I think will score a touchdown this week is Mike Evans. So those are the touchdown props. Get to the starts and sits. Of course, you can reach out at Chris Meany if you have any questions. Every league is different. We won't league shame here. You can leave the comment in the comment section or meanstreets@ftn@gmail.com. So Jared Goff was a start last week. It wasn't fantastic showing from him, only 13 fantasy points. I do expect a better performance from him. And like I said, I think we'll see a little bit more from Amon-Ra in this game as well. This is a better matchup. The Bucs were among the leaders in allowing fantasy points to wide receivers and quarterbacks last season, and they still have some holes in their secondary. Inside the same game, again, a very high total, 51 points here. Baker Mayfield at Detroit. Mayfield finished fourth in passing yards last week, and his four passing touchdowns resulted in a QB2 finish overall. Shake and bake, baby. 10 passing touchdowns for Baker in his last three games, and at least two passing touchdowns in seven of his last eight. Godwin scored, Evans scored. Those two guys are stud. Jaleel McMillan looks like he's a player as well. Rashad White catching balls out of the backfield. Bucky Irving's a player that they picked up in the draft that looks like he's going to be a factor this season. So Baker is in there. He's in there. We'll get to it. There's some guys that I'll bring up that I would start over him, but Adam's a top 15 quarterback, so I think he's certainly startable. Justin Fields, I don't have him as high as Jake. Jake had him as like a borderline, top 10 quarterback. You know, he runs, of course. We do have him projected for lower, fewer fantasy points than Baker Mayfield. 40 some odd yards is what you can expect. They didn't score any touchdowns last week. He did, have some nice throws there to George Pickens. Pickens should have his hands full with Porter Jr. That should be a good matchup. It won't be Porter Jr. I mean, he doesn't play against himself. It would be Surtain. It's been a long day. Patrick Surtain. That should be a really good matchup. Surtain did some good things last week against DK Metcalf, but Justin Fields is certainly startable in a super flex, right? I'd be thinking about him over Herbert and Tila and Caleb Williams, Aaron Rodgers, all those guys. And, maybe even Joe Burrow, I can get behind that one as well. But those are the three quarterbacks there. Other guys here, I mean, Jordan Mason, we know CMC's ruled out. Obviously, you're starting Jordan Mason. I had him originally at RB5. That may be a little bit crazy, but he's a top 10 running back, right? I mean, if you are not starting him, congratulations, because you have some unbelievable running backs. I'm sure it's possible. Like, you could have picked up Mason late in your draft. And then, you started with like another a Saquon, a Breece Hall, a Bijan. Maybe you got Mixon in the third round. Maybe you started James Cook. Like, you could be in a really good spot, but I got him as a top 10 running back, and he just had a ton of carries last week, and I'll probably lean on him again. And I don't expect Sam Darnold to go in and beat up on his former team or rent spot for the old boy. But I think it's going to be tough, a lot tougher than it was last week. I already talked about J.K. Dobbins and Brian Robinson Jr. in there. Tony Pollard. So I think that the run defense will be a lot better this week with the Jets, because Will Levis is going to have to prove that, at least to the secondary, that he can throw the football and he can move the football. You know, of course, when you're stacking boxes against the Niners, you got all those weapons, you can get burned. But the rush defense wasn't good. But we could see a little bit more Tajay Spears in this game. He was on the field in most third down and fourth down situations last week. But I got Pollard like ahead of Jerome Ford and ahead of DeAndre Swift, ahead of Singletary, ahead of both Denver backs, Austin Eckler. So he's like a borderline low-end RB2. I thought he did some really good things last week. He was catching balls out of the backfield. I don't expect a lot of offense in this game. But Pollard, I think, is at least a flex play for you. I liked what I saw from him last week. And who knows? I'm just expecting the Jets' run defense to be better. They didn't really get a lot of pressure. But Will Levis is probably in for a long day, and I think they lean a little bit on these two backs that can catch it to the backfield and run the rock there. Najee Harris, he may not blow you away. 20 rushing attempts. He was among the leaders in rushing attempts last week. And that's saying something. It's, volume is king. It's everything in fantasy. You want him to be more efficient. 20 for 70, 8.4 fantasy points is not great. The one catch, Fields is going to run, but this is a good matchup. Last year among the leaders, I think top three in fantasy points allowed to running backs. And you saw Walker and Charbonnet have some success last week against the Broncos. So I think that they'll run the football. Najee, Fields, and Fields in is bad news for Warren. We'll get to that in a bit, but he's more willing to, run 2 or 3 yards as opposed to dumping it off or checking it down. So volume is everything here in this matchup. Ayuk, again, feel good about going back to him. Chris Godwin, absolutely. Jameson Williams, Ladd McConkey, and I mentioned DeMarcus Robinson in there. Brandon Cooks, right, would be another guy that I would consider. Rashid Shaheed, these are guys that, you know, may have been drafted in your league or, you know, were just picked up by you in shallower leagues or whatnot. Again, not league shaming here, but Rashid Shaheed's a top 40 wide receiver for me. I love Brian Thomas Jr. again, just because of it's Cleveland. I have him ranked higher than Christian Kirk. I already think he's wide receiver one. He's got the touchdown upside there. Alan Lazard, tougher matchup against the Titans, but maybe a flex play if there for you. I do like him more than Deontay Johnson. I had him ranked ahead of Keon Coleman. I'm not surprised he didn't do anything yesterday. He was on Ramsey was on him, and Shakir was the guy. I think Coleman's going to get his, but I do believe Shakir is certainly the guy, especially when Coleman goes up against some very tough corners like we saw yesterday. So Cooks, you know, Cooks has got 6 touchdowns in his last 8 games. He's got 4 touchdowns in his last 4, like in a row, like consecutively now. And we know that Ferguson is doubtful to play in that game. Here's some sits. Joe Burrow, right? I know he's 3-1 lifetime against Mahomes and company, but typically slow starts. Another one here. No T. Higgins. He's not going to play. He's doubtful. So I expect maybe a little bit more from Ja'Marr Chase, but my goodness, like here we go with the Bengals starts again. Are they missing Callahan? Always seems to be something with this squad. I'm not comfortable playing Burrow until I see it. I was sitting him last week and last year for the first few weeks until I saw it. And he blew up against Arizona, but and he may have a good game here. But, you know, got the wrist, didn't like him grabbing the water bottle and flexing it, you know, extending the fingers and whatnot multiple times in that game. A really good spot at home, even limited, and they laid an egg. So he's taking a seat. Trevor Lawrence, I really do believe that he's going to have a good season this year, but man, not a good first game. They were out of sync. I know that Brian Thomas should have had another touchdown, really. Like he beat Jalen Ramsey a couple times, and Ramsey, the PI there, and if it wasn't for him, it would have been another touchdown. Maybe T-Law's day is a little bit better, but Cleveland's defense is still good. Like, he can play. Say what you want about Watson. There's lots of things to say about him. None of them good. But Cleveland's defense can still play, and I wouldn't start Trevor Lawrence this week. I'd start the other guys that I mentioned just a little bit earlier. And Kirk Cousins. This will be the third straight year that the Eagles' home opener will be against Kirk Cousins. Last year actually had a pretty good day through the year, some garbage time stuff there in that game 2 years ago. He was not good in that game. He did not look good last week, that's for sure. The Eagles' secondary still has some issues. I am still very concerned about their secondary. I do expect better performances from Pitts and from London, but at the same time, you know, the Steelers got some pressure, and there's even situations where there was more time in the pocket and Kirky panicked. And you know that, you know, Jalen Carter and guys are going to get after Kirk Cousins. They're going to try to make life difficult for him, blitz and make him panic. So I'm sitting Kirk at the link for the home opener. Yeah, he's taking a seat for now. Javonte Williams, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard. I said this last week. I don't care if Chuba Hubbard's a starting running back or not. He's just not touching my lineup. I just don't see the upside. I really don't. There were moments last year for Chuba Hubbard, but boxes will be stacked. The Chargers did a good job stopping the run last week, so I'm not interested at all. And you know what? He didn't even get as much work as I thought. I know there's a little bit of Miles Sanders in there, so just I'm not interested in Chuba Hubbard. Zamir White, I talked a lot about him in the offseason. Not a good first game at all. I'm sweating here a little bit for sure. He's going to be on my bench. I'm not dropping him. I'm not playing Madison over him. He did have the 13 carries. He fumbled and Pierce went back to him, which was a good sign. He had a couple nice runs, but for the most part, he was just running into a wall and it wasn't good for him. So I mentioned Madison played 60% of the snaps and Zamir White 34% of the snaps. It could just be a very similar snap count when you consider their 10-point dogs here in this football game. Jalen Warren, I mentioned, right? You may think he's better than Najee. I may agree with you, but Najee actually checked a lot of boxes last year in our analytics, like broken tackles and explosive runs among win yards among the leaders in a lot of those categories. And he gets the goal line work there if it's not Fields. And it's like I said, Fields not just going to check it down. This actually may be a Chase Brown game. I've been team Zach Moss. I said this last week. I'm not surprised with the usage at all in that game last week, and they played from behind a little bit in that game. So we saw Zach Moss get a majority of the carries. He had the two red zone rushing attempts, one he converted for a touchdown. So not shocked at all. He's the lead, man. Like it, and I compared this to the Steelers backfield. It may look like, hey man, like Moss may look like Najee and Warren, and Chase looks like Warren. And it's like, oh man, like why don't they give more touches to the other guy? Cause he looks more explosive, but Chase Brown's not going to get a ton of carries on the ground. And he may be involved here a little bit more in third down situations, catching more passes out of the backfield. But Moss is the lead. He's the quote-unquote veteran here, and that's what I expect. I mean, I just thought Chase Brown was overdrafted, and he jumped into the top 30. I would hold because something could happen, and all of a sudden, you know, Brown is starting running back. Let's not panic. If you're in an 8-team, 10-team, I kind of get it. Maybe you'd move on from him for like a Mason or something else as a wide receiver or something like that. I did tell you guys that Blake Corum would be the most draw player. And I'd say that on Monday or Tuesday. I'm pretty sure I did. And he was the most draw player. That's a panic drop. What I'll say about that is you took him in the middle rounds in the eighth round. You didn't take him there to drop him right away. You didn't. You felt like this would be, I mean, I'm just trying to justify the pick in general. I like Blake Corum. I think he could have a role. He didn't touch the ball at all in the first game, and it was Ronnie Rivers getting touches. I assume people drafted him because of Kyren, not the punt return stuff, because that's just ludicrous talk. I mean, come on. He returned punts last year, too. How many punts is he going to return this year? You know, like they returned like 20 as a team last year, and they went away from him. And Corum's returning kicks, so that's just silly. The reason you probably drafted him is because Sean McVay has always drafted a running back and he's always thrown curveballs. And this time last year it was Cam Akers and then the surprise like cut or whatever and doghouse and active. And then it was a lot of Kyren. But Kyren's had multiple injuries as well. So, you know, if anything happens to Kyren, you know, you have a guy in Blake Corum who's going to get like 75-80% of the snaps, right? So let's not overreact in week one. The only way that it would drop, that I would have dropped him if it's like Jordan Mason was on the waiver wire. I'm in an 8-team or a 10-team league. You know, I dropped him for somebody like legitimately good. But otherwise, you picked him, you know, in the eighth. And at the same time, like, don't get me wrong, you can fall into a trap of just holding somebody because you spent a high pick on him. Like, oh, I dropped him the eighth. You're here in week six. Well, I dropped him the eighth. I can't cut him. You know, like by then, you could move on most likely. But he's a stash. That's it. Like Jalen Wright, he's a stash. And they're good stashes because Achan was great on Thursday night, but Mostert's already hurt. If Achan goes down, Wright's getting more run. Wilson got hurt in that game last night as well. So good offenses, they're stashes. Cam Akers rookie season, Javonte Williams rookie season. Like I had a lot of shares of these guys, won a lot of constellation brackets. Didn't work out for me, but you know, if my teams were better, they would have helped me win championships because they were great down the stretch of the season. So just be patient. And you know, it really does depend on context and who you're picking him up for. I understand you picked him up for Mason. You know, it seems like a pretty good pick because I'm really concerned about Christian McCaffrey. There's reports that he could be placed on IR and Friday was his worst day yet. Achilles tendonitis. Not good. I'm not here to say I told you so. I'm heavy wide receivers. I don't have any CMC, but if I picked first overall in any drafts, I probably would have went there. So I do feel your pain. Hopefully you have Jordan Mason. And if you are set at running back and you have Mason, the asking price better be high. You know what I mean? Like you got to be stern with, you can't just give him up. You can't give him up. The CMC owner desperate. Teams are going to be super desperate if they start 0-2, 0-3 in fantasy. That's where you can really take advantage of your league mates. But scan the waiver wire because there's usually some bad drops, and Blake Corum may be one of those bad drops. Again, it's tough to hold a guy that doesn't get any touches, but it was just his first NFL game. Sidebar there, big time. So I kind of feel the same about Chase Brown, right? I mean, don't start him, but in your hole, just in case, right? I mean, Zach Moss hasn't had the cleanest track record when it comes to health. Calvin Ridley, I know this one's bold, but I said IU care last week, and you know why? Sauce Gardner, bad man. A lot of air yards for Calvin Ridley. None of them really catchable. in that game, and Will Levis struggled, and he's going to have his hands full again this week. Courtland Sutton, there's that matchup against Joey Porter Jr. A ton of targets. I can understand maybe playing him as a flex. Like, I didn't think Bo Nix would throw the football as much as he did. But he certainly did. And there's a lot of targets there for Courtland Sutton. I don't think this is going to be a high scoring game. I could see like 15, 17, 14 type game, 13, 10 type game, a lot like the game we saw between the Steelers and the Falcons last week. But yeah, it's one thing to have targets, but are those catchable targets? There's some better options out there. I mentioned Cooks, you know, J-Mo, Rashid Shaheed, DeMarcus Robinson, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas, even Kirk against Cleveland. You know, you're definitely starting Tank Dell, Worthy, you know, Hollywood. Terry McLaurin had a dead game. I'd still go Terry over him. I'd still go Marvin Harrison Jr. over him. So borderline starts there. And then Joshua Palmer may see a little bit of J.C. Horn. And I like the matchup there for Ladd. Christian Watson, the only Packer I would start is Reed. And I don't really want to. I have him at wide receiver 40, had him one spot behind Shakir. I just recently moved Cooks and Lazard over him. So, yeah, it's just Malik Willis. I mean, he's got a 52% completion rate for his career. He's yet to throw a touchdown. He really hasn't had an opportunity. I do like his rushing yard prop. I think he'll run around a little bit. He may surprise us. LaFleur may do like try to make life simple for him, and that would be using a guy like Jaden Reed, some end around, some bubbles, get the ball in his hand, lean on Josh Jacobs there a little bit. But Watson takes a big hit with no love. Everybody takes a big hit in the Packers offense with no love. I don't even really want to start Reed, but I do believe he's got the ceiling. And, you know, if he doesn't play, he's questionable, then, you know, Romeo Dubs would move up just a touch. But, you know, it should be tough here. And there's reports that Malik Willis could be the starter for several weeks here in Green Bay. Man, hate to see these injuries already. We saw 60 plus quarterbacks last year. We're on route to see that again. My goodness. And then Deontay Johnson. Again, just to prove it. You know, prove to me that you can move the ball down the field, Carolina. And Deontay Johnson, I was surprised with the lack of usage. I'm not talking targets. I'm talking like snaps. Like, I thought the offense was going to go through him. I mean, at least that's what Canales said. And I know he's a decent separator, but he's taken a step back over the past couple of years. This guy was a bust for me in our breakout bust sleeper series. I wouldn't buy low. I wouldn't make him available. You hope that he has a good game or two, and then maybe you can trade him if he runs together a couple games. Maybe this does get better. It can't get worse. It was just the first game, but it didn't look good for Bryce Young, man. He just doesn't look like him. And so Deontay Johnson, I mean, he's got 5 touchdowns his last 31 games. Like, where's the ceiling anyways for Johnson? Like, he's a wide receiver 3 at best, a flex at best, if he's going to rack up like Thielen catch numbers like Thielen did last year. And then Javonte Williams, I mentioned, like, I was really surprised with the usage, as I mentioned, you know, the pass attempts there. But when I looked at Denver's backfield, Javonte played 52% of the snaps and McLaughlin played 34%, but the carries were in favor of McLaughlin. He had more, and he had 15 opportunities to 10 opportunities for Javonte. That was pretty surprising. I'm not surprised that McLaughlin is involved. I expect him to be involved. He's a good pass catching back, and Estime's on the IR, and they got rid of Piran, who had 50 grabs. But this is looking like a split backfield. I'd say it's even split near the goal line, and McLaughlin had 5 catches to Javonte's 1. So, man, free Javonte. Can we get him off the Broncos? Seriously. I would try to buy low on him at Dynasty if you're just looking, like, if your season goes sour and you're just looking for some high upside guys who could be on new teams. Like, Javonte's one of those guys that I would buy, but McLaughlin should be rostered, right? Like, I would consider maybe, you know, it depends. Like, if you're picking up McLaughlin as your 5th back, then you keep Corum. But if you're looking like pretty thin at the running back position, Corum's your 3rd, your 4th, like, I'd maybe move on from him for McLaughlin. Like, that's a move I can maybe get behind, because McLaughlin's a guy that I think you could play, right? You can play as a flex play. We get into bye weeks and stuff. I think we'll be talking about him as a flex play. As for Zach Charbonnet, again, reach out at Chris Meany, leave the comments in the YouTube section, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. I got Charbonnet at RB22. Like, it's not as simple as like moving him in as RB16 or 17, where I had Kenneth Walker. There's been times where Charbonnet, I mean, last year he had the backfield to himself, and there were very tough matchups and he didn't do a whole lot. And I think this one's kind of tough too. Like, he only played good on defense last week. I I'm not going to put him over James Conner or like Mixon's a top 10 back. Conner, I got Kamara, I got Jacobs, I got Rashad White. You know, not going to be super efficient again this year. And Bucky had a couple nice runs. He's going to get some touches, but White was still the guy. He still played like 75% of the snaps, got some balls out of the backfield. I got Montgomery in there because it's a high scoring game. He's the closer. Dude just seems to score a touchdown every game. I got Travis Etienne at 18. He's been the biggest faller in my rankings. It's a tough matchup against Cleveland. We saw a little bit of Tank Bigsby in that game, 12 carries each for both of those guys. Ramondre Stevenson, you know, it was a good matchup against Seattle. You can run on them. He got a ton of work last week. So, like, he's ahead of Charbonnet for me. Brian Robinson Jr. is ahead of Charbonnet and J.K. Dobbins. So, good matchup as well. So, I got him right in around Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Tony Pollard, Jerome Ford. I got respect for the Jags' rush defense. Ford caught a bunch of balls out of the backfield. Don't expect a whole lot on the ground from him, but he could catch five or six passes. Again, it's possible. With no Njoku there, but some of those catches did come in garbage time. Jones has a tough matchup against San Fran, but that's where Charbonnet is. He's a low-end RB2 for me. Really, you know, excited for him because I think he does have some bell cow abilities, but not the best spot. And again, it's not that simple just to replace him in for Kenneth Walker. So any questions, hit me up, guys. Picks, props, all that good stuff. Oh, yeah, here on the way out, this is what I have for my card. I got San Fran -5. Some people out there that are picking the Vikings straight up, which really does surprise me. Our model does lean with Minnesota covering that game, but I don't see it. You know, Sam Darnold, he was good in that game. Completions were on point, but he really struggled. You know, I think he's going to really struggle anyways against the San Francisco defense. A different beast here. Tampa +7.5. I think that they hang around with Detroit. They hung around in that playoff game last year. I think they can hang in this game. Saints +6. I'm, you know, last week, sure, you know, the offense was against Carolina, but I like them to hang in this game. I'll admit, when I came on, I saw a lot of more questionable, Fuega questionable in that game. I'm still leaning with New Orleans +6. Yeah, I wasn't going to hit up Fox and go with a new spread here, but San Fran 5, Tampa 7.5. I do have the lean there. 6. I do think we'll see some points. I got the over 45.5 between the Cowboys and the Saints. I got the under between the Jets and the Titans at under 41.5. I got the under between the Brownies and the Jags under 41.5 as well. Again, like I said last week, not going to come in here, you know, with money line plays that are, you know, -300. Like, I got to come in here with Baltimore and San Fran and the Jets. You see, I got the parlay there, the three-leg parlay. I got San Fran, Baltimore, the Jets at +182. I'm going with Pittsburgh on the money line at -140. I'm going with the Colts on the money line at -141. Again, prop shop parlay calculator, your friends. And then my upset would be Cleveland. You know, I was trying to think of an upset, and, you know, I think Tampa will hang, but I like Detroit to win the game. I think that the Saints could surprise us, but I do like the Cowboys to win the game. I don't think the Raiders are going to upset. I don't think the Titans at home will upset. Rodgers never been 0-2, by the way, but, you know, different green is wearing. You know, I have a lean to Washington. It's -122. The Rams are +102. Like, that's not really an upset. Don't think the Bengals are going to win. I like Pittsburgh on the road against the Broncos. I like the Texans at home against the Bears. I like the Eagles against the Falcons. I actually think the Falcons will cover the +6.5. I almost put them on the board here at 6.5. So, you know, the upset for me, and I don't think it's Carolina against the Chargers. And I told you I'm not buying the Vikings takes here. So, and I also think Seattle will go on the road and beat New England. Really tight game. I think that one's going to be a field goal game, but I like Seattle. So I went with Cleveland because defense travels and the defense plays well. And Trevor Lawrence didn't play that great. I know Deshaun Watson didn't play good. So I think Cleveland at +3 for me is in play. And I think +138 is certainly in play there as well. In my own pool, my pick and pool last night was Buffalo. Told you guys that yesterday, Josh Allen owning Buffalo. San Fran, I'm picking San Fran. I'm picking Tampa. I'm going to pick Washington. I'm going to pick Cleveland +3. I'm going to go with the Raiders at -8.5. I'm going to go with the Jets at -3.5. But I also like the -3. Like, give me a little bit more juice when by a field goal in case that is a tight game and it is a field goal game. You know, I don't mind paying a little bit of juice to get the -2.5 or something like that for the New York Jets. leaning here with the Saints plus six. I know that's probably a lone in that take. But I think that the Saints offense is going to surprise some people this year. Seahawks minus 3.5. I did see a 3 earlier. I do see a 3 currently right now over at DraftKings and Bet365. I will be a same sort of deal, right? Can you tease these down 2.5, 2.5? You tease down San Fran if you don't like them. You could do like a teaser parlay here with like Baltimore, like 4.5. You can do like maybe KC 2.5. You can get San Fran down to 2.5. The Lions maybe down to 2.5, something like that. Anyways, we'll be picking Seattle. We'll be picking the Colts. I will pick the Chargers. That line's moved a little bit at 5. Chargers didn't really impress me that much either, but Carolina, right? Prove it. You can score some points. I don't really see them scoring a lot of points in this game. I will lean with the Rams. They have a history of just having success against Arizona. One should be a fun game. Kansas City, I like Pittsburgh, and I am in on Houston minus 6. And then, like I said, I think the Falcons at plus 6.5. As for Survivor, not going to get too cute. Lucky to just survive last week. So like Baltimore as an option. Don't mind the Niners as an option. And the third option for me was, Kansas City. And I think Houston's in play as well. I don't think the Ravens are going to lose this week to the Raiders. All right, guys, really do appreciate you taking the time to hang out here with me. Enjoy the weekend. Any questions, hit me up at Chris Meaney. And we will chat to you guys soon. Let the winners be yours. We'll talk to you on Monday. Cheers.